Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. It's time to visit with Dr. Jeffrey Copen, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Doctor, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, good to be here, John. How are you?
I'm good. My son has COVID, and Benny Thompson, who co-chairs the January 6th committee, has COVID, and our governor has COVID. And if you don't know somebody who has COVID now, you will soon. It's amazing to me how this thing's just got a life of its own, and it's pretty strong right now.
Yeah, this subvariant of Omicron that we're dealing with, the BA5, which now must make up, it's got to be 70 to 80% of all the virus now in the United States, is highly, highly infectious, as we've been talking about now for a few weeks. And I'm certain that's what the governor has and what Congressman Thompson has and your son and on and on. I mean, this thing is highly infectious, and people who've had prior episodes of COVID can get it, and people who are vaccinated can get it. But the good news is I'm willing to bet, John, that your son is doing fine. Am I correct?
Yeah. I will say that, he's feeling the effects, but he's fine. He's not socializing. He's staying at home. He's resting.
But what about the governor, doctor, because he comes at this with the pre-existing condition?
Of obesity, Steve?
Yeah.
So his office announced today that Governor Pritzker is taking Paxlovid, which is one of the antiviral medications that are available for people who are infected with the COVID virus. So I definitely concur with the decision of the governor's physicians to do that. With his obesity, we know that to be a significant risk factor for somebody to get ill with a COVID infection. So it's a good thing that the governor is taking the antiviral medicine.
What does the antiviral medicine do? That just mitigates the symptoms, right?
Well, actually, it hinders the virus's ability to multiply. So what a virus does when it infects our body, it takes over some of our cells to reproduce itself. That's what viruses do. It's kind of like that old movie, The Alien. It's the original alien, a virus. And we humans have been coexisting with viruses forever, literally forever. So all a virus wants to do is reproduce itself. It just wants to duplicate, and it needs our cellular machinery to do that. What Paxlovid as an antiviral does, it hinders the process of the virus multiplying. And that's important, and it gives the body the opportunity to mount the response to the virus. So people who take Paxlovid, it's very effective to keep them from getting ill when they get infected with the virus. Doesn't keep them from being infected, but keeps people from being ill.
Does it keep them from being as infectious?
Ah, good question. Theoretically, it does, but there has not been a good study done to be able to confirm that. It would seem if somebody has less virus in their body, particularly in their respiratory tract and their nose, one would expect that it would decrease the likelihood of transmitting the virus to somebody else. But I'm unaware of any good study to confirm that idea.
How unique is this moment in history? I mean, there's been the plague. We had the influenza. Humanity has sort of suffered from and recovered from all sorts of lingering and long-running illnesses. But this one keeps reinventing itself. Is this a unique episode that we're going through, would you say?
I don't think it's dissimilar, John, from the Spanish flu that occurred during World War One and right after World War One. So, we're talking a long time ago, over 100 years ago. The difference today is how easy it is to travel. If we think it back to what we learned about history, back in World War One, And during that time, most people never traveled anywhere, right? I mean, we know if you were born on the west side of Chicago, it was unusual you'd ever leave the west side of Chicago, let alone traveling to, yeah. Where were you just, John? You were in Scotland, you told me, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do you think anybody from the west side went to Scotland in 1919? I don't think so. And we all travel. This is something that we do. We certainly travel a lot in the United States and North America. Many of us are fortunate to travel to many places around the world for business or for pleasure. That obviously transmits infectious diseases in a way that is really new in human history. So I think that's a very, very important piece of this that we need to bring into account. Also, you know, many of us live in dense areas, cities, where it's easy to come in contact with somebody who has the virus. And, you know, the other thing, and I think this is really the basis of your question, this is a crafty virus. It keeps changing. The virus that we're dealing with today, BA5, is now a distant cousin from what we call the ancestral virus, the original virus that we started to deal with here in the United States in March of 2020. So that's what we're dealing with. That's why this is such a difficult historical moment. But I think we should all feel really good about the fact that once we're vaccinated, we're not getting sick as a population. Although there's plenty of people in the hospital, I looked at the latest data available today. We're at about 20% of the latest peak. We're going back to the original part of the Omicron, 20% hospitalization. And that's people who test positive with the virus when they get admitted to the hospital. That doesn't mean that they're being admitted to the hospital because of the virus. That's a very important distinction. And although it's tragic that we're still losing about 400 people a day who are dying, and that's horrible, 400 people a day, that's still a fraction of what we were losing during the peak of the original Omicron back in the winter. So the vaccines are working. Prior infections are helping, not from getting us infected. That's still happening, but from us going on to becoming very ill.
Dr. Jeffrey Copen's on the phone. We'll pause here, come back, answer this question then, doctor. What is your advice about travel, not only in my car, maybe just to another city, but how about on a plane? How about on a cruise ship? How about on a bus? Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern is joining us to answer this question then, doctor. What do you think about travel with this BA5 variant out there?
John, I think it's the same advice I've been giving for quite a while now. Every individual has to make a risk-benefit assessment. You made the decision. You were happy to go to Scotland. Other people may decide they don't want to take the risk of contracting the virus, particularly when they're away from home. I think everybody has to look at their own medical history, with whom they live, the health condition of members of their household. Those kinds of considerations help to inform a decision. Mm-hmm. Am I ready to fly? Am I ready to go to O'Hare, where I'm going to be surrounded by, you know, thousands and thousands of people, none of whom I know, get on an airplane, you know, which is obviously a confined space, even though we should point out that the ventilation systems on airplanes are excellent. They have HEPA filters, which is the best kind of air filtration. There's additional outdoor air that's being put into the plane. So the airlines have done a nice job with the ventilation on the plane. But then, you know, you're going to be in a place you haven't been before. And how comfortable are you going to feel being indoors, hotels, restaurants, museums, yeah, all the things we do when we travel on vacation. And I really do believe that's an individual decision, that people will come to different conclusions depending on their own situation.
That's a funny reminder, though, because we did have this conversation or a version of it a year or two ago, and that was, yeah, you can go, but if you're not going to enjoy your vacation anyway, then maybe you'll decide not to go. But tell me if this is a correct statement or a fair statement then on your behalf. If you're boosted and if you're vaccinated and if you're wearing a KN95 again when you're in a mass population area, you can safely travel. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think you could safely travel, but again, you are taking on a certain risk. And that risk is fine for many people. I mean, I recently myself have been in O'Hare, and there's a lot of people like me who feel comfortable flying, but I know plenty of people who are not comfortable flying yet, and they just don't want to. They'll drive distance to go visit somebody if that's what they want to do. So I do believe you can travel safely, but you just have to look in the mirror and make sure you're making that right decision for you and your family.
What about this, Doctor? 630 texts in to say, will the standard COVID test that I get at the drugstore still work with the new variant? Is it receptive to that?
Yes. What the, and I assume the listener is asking about the home test that we buy at the store and we bring home.
Yep.
That will still pick up this strain, the BA5. What it's looking for in the virus is constant between the various strains.
Good to know.
And the PCR test, the one that you have to send off to a laboratory, that one also has the ability to pick up BA5.
This is Jim for Dr. Copen. You're on WGN. Jim, what do you need to know?
I just want to thank Dr. Copen for all he's done here through this whole deal. But my question is what is the value of the second booster versus the BA5? And if there is value to it, why are we not getting the under 50-year-old people, which seem to be the ones that are getting the virus a lot more than everybody else, why are we not getting it done for them?
Jim, it's a good question, and you should know that the experts at FDA are actually considering that question right now, literally right now, today. I think part of it has to do with what is it that the vaccines do for us. With BA5, the vaccines do not keep us from getting infected, but what the vaccine does do is keep us from getting ill. And for otherwise healthy people under the age of 50, is there truly an advantage of getting that second booster or the fourth shot if you got Moderna or Pfizer? That's what the experts at FDA are going through right now. They're looking at their data sets, trying to make a decision whether people under the age of 50 who are healthy would benefit from getting that second booster shot. We don't know the answer to that, and that's what they're trying to come up with right now. And I think we're going to get their opinion in short order, because lots of people like you, Jim, have been asking that very question.
And there's the answer as we know it from Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Out of time today, Doctor. I hope you can join us again next week.
Look forward to it, John. Everybody take good care.